saying all the things that would get you fired. That's why you listen. Here's Gruber.
Maybe not fired, maybe just suspended and fined a paycheck or two. Yeah, sorry, my throat's just a little off from being under the weather for a couple of days, so I apologize for the scratchiness and so forth, but we'll push through. We'll do the best we can, all right, deal? My next guest was a longtime legal analyst in Washington, D.C., also co-author of The Campus Rape Frenzy, The Attack on Due Process at America's Universities, Innocence Presumed. Stuart Taylor, welcome to the program.
Nice to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. Innocence Presumed. Not anymore, apparently, in America. Apparently, a 36-year-old allegation of groping is to be believed above all else, as an example, right?
Well, that's one perspective. Yeah, that seems to be the Democrats' perspective. As you know, she came out of nowhere after the hearings, after the interviews with Judge Kavanaugh had been over. But I don't know that she's lying. She has, you know, the superficial indicia of credibility, but he has very strong indicia of credibility, and I think people should wait to hear the evidence before they rest a judgment.
I would agree with that. Problem is...
And, you know, it's also true. There have been so many cases in recent years where people have rushed to judgment against accused males who later were proved innocent.
Absolutely. I mean, you can go to all sorts of examples of that. You're exactly right about that. My concern is that there is this rush to judgment, but I think it's for political reasons. Let's be honest. The rush to judgment against Brett Kavanaugh is the last-ditch Hail Mary effort to block a Supreme Court nominee who is otherwise infinitely qualified. I mean, there is no other explanation for it in my world, because the whole notion of, well, she wanted to remain anonymous, that's nonsense. Dr. Ford had retained an attorney and taken a polygraph test 7 weeks ago. In July, that was early August. In July, she reached out to the Washington Post to give a tip to the Washington Post that later did an article with her. Does not sound like a woman who wanted to remain anonymous to me.
No, it sounds like there's already some questions about her credibility. If the facts you just mentioned there were contrary to what she was saying previously, and that's my impression, I wonder if the first question to her at the hearing shouldn't be if this were a liberal Democrat being nominated for the Supreme Court, who would we be here? Would you be accusing him, assuming that you had the same recollection? I don't think that'll be the first question, but maybe it should be.
I think we know the answer, though. I think we do. And I think that, well, that is if there's a hearing at all. Because at this point, it doesn't appear there's going to be a hearing at all, because she's apparently decided that after her attorney went on national television, said she would do whatever it takes to tell this story. Well, now she wants to dictate the United States Senate how the Constitution's going to function going forward, and she will dictate. So here you have one American citizen with an uncorroborated allegation trying to dictate how a Supreme Court justice nominee is treated. It's outrageous.
That's another question about her credibility, too. If she comes on at first saying, you know, I'll tell my story no matter what, and then she says, oh, only after an FBI investigation, when she knows there probably won't be one, raises another question about her credibility. And by the way, it's unclear what she thinks an FBI investigation would uncover. She recalls almost nothing about the incident in terms of the time or the place or anybody else who might have been a witness. I gather she's named two people who were supposedly witnesses in terms of being present at the party she says occurred, and both of them have denied it. So there's huge questions about her credibility that are already surfacing, and there may be more by the time we get through this.
Well, then what do we do about this? Because I've said this for a very long time, and you're only underscoring my concerns, my fear, really, Stuart, and that is I have more concerns for my son going forward than I do my daughter. My son is all boy. You know, he's young, and he's rambunctious, and you know what happens when he runs up and kisses a girl on the cheek when he's 10? Is he going to be handcuffed and dragged off for sexual assault because, or whatever, because he kissed a girl on the playground? Or when he's in high school, is some girl going to say, he touched me inappropriately? And the mere allegation is enough to destroy a young person, a young man's life. I think that anybody that has a son or a brother or a father or an uncle should be concerned about the way men are being treated. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be investigated. They should. But the mere allegation anymore is enough to destroy lives. And it's a damn powerful thing, and it ought to be used very carefully.
I agree. You know, I think, you know, any parent sending a kid to college in these dangerous times has reason to worry, whether it's a son or a daughter. There are rapes, and I had two daughters. I have no sons, and, you know, I worry a little bit that something might happen to my daughters at college. Fortunately, nothing did. If I had a son now, I would, as you would, be very worried, and frankly, having written a book on the campus rape frenzy, the attack on due process at America's universities with Casey Johnson, I've seen a lot of these campus cases in particular. The danger of false accusations there is especially strong given the ideology on the campus. And if I had a son, I think I would advise him, I don't know if I'd take the advice if I were the son, just don't ever date or have, you know, romantic involvement with any woman at the same university. It's just too dangerous.
Just wrap yourself in bubble wrap.
Unless you know her very, very well.
Yeah, just wrap yourself in bubble wrap. Have consent forms, you know, in triplicate in your briefcase and then, or your backpack, and then go to class. I mean, come on. At some point, you know, you can't criminalize all human behavior. You know, you can't, as I've said before, Stuart, you probably never enjoyed this comment, but you will now. Testicles are not a hate group, all right? I mean, we're treating them as such, are we not?
We are, yes. Any man who's accused, there are so many people any man who's accused of any wrongdoing by any woman is instantly presumed guilty by a whole lot of people, including, by the way, almost all Democratic politicians.
Like the great Senator from Hawaii said.
Has come forth with suggestions for improving the process in campus rape adjudications.
Mm-hmm.
You know, putting some fairness in them, and then the proposals she's making are eminently fair. There were just hysterical, vitriolic denunciations of her from Nancy Pelosi, from every single Democrat in Congress who's spoken out on this has attacked anything that would be fair to males in campus adjudications. It's really shameful, and you know, I don't say this as a Republican. I'm an independent.
Well, you know, you don't have to say it as a Republican. You say it as a parent, or as a grandparent, or as a friend, or whatever it may be. You know, you can't go out and destroy lives based on allegations. We've seen it time and again. And it's got to stop. And so we also have to make sure that we're respecting both sides of the equation. Assaulting women is a crime, period. And you should be punished as such. But if you go after somebody knowingly and attack somebody when they didn't do something you're accusing them of, that too should be a crime. Real quickly, I'll give you the last word.
And if you report it to police, if you make a false report of, say, rape to police, that is a crime. It's rarely prosecuted, unfortunately. And when it's done on a campus, it's never prosecuted.
Stuart Taylor, greatly appreciate it.
That's too bad, because there's no deterrent to false accusations.
Got to leave it right there. Stuart Taylor, the book, The Campus Rape Frenzy, The Attack on Due Process at America's Universities, came out just last year. Stuart, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Chris McLatcher. You know the guy Steve Gruber has been talking about? I fight the IRS in the state of Michigan for a living, and I've been around since 1991, over 25 years. Our firm is called Fresh Start Tax Solutions, and we are right here in Michigan. Just type in your area code tax.com. In Lansing, that would be 517tax.com. If you're a Youper, that would be 906tax.com. You'll be directed to our website, where you can instantly be connected by phone or email. At Fresh Start Tax Solutions, we can get the IRS and the state of Michigan off your back today.
Plan to attend Salt Lake Global's upcoming event celebrating the sanctity of human life in Lansing, Michigan, September the 29th. Learn how to effectively engage the culture and defend family values with truth and grace. Check out this exciting opportunity at slgwitness.com. For tickets, go to slgwitness.com. Limited seating available for celebrating the sanctity of human life. So register today at slgwitness.com. That's slgwitness.com.
Hey. What's up? Thinking about you. XOXOXO. Want to snuggle. Dot, dot, dot. JK. Hit me back. You getting these texts? Question mark. We should hang later. I miss you. Holla at ya, boy. Holla back. Holla back. Holla back. Are you at home? Where are you? What are you doing? OMG. You are making me mad. Are you with your ex? You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
That's not cool.com.